Blog Talk Radio.
The hand of the Lord was upon me.
Sometimes the hand of the Lord be upon you. You got to reach out for God. I'm praying for you. Last night you didn't come on the air, but I'm prophesying to everybody for 2024. This evening I'm prophesying. But tonight I want to tell you all is well. I'm praying for you to call. Some of you done stopped, but God ain't stopped. Some of you ain't made your mind up you want to be with God. But the wages of sin is death, the gift of God, eternal life. Don't forget, if you got a need, plant a seed. I want to thank you, Sister Julia, for sending your donation, for sending your seed and your needs being met. Brother Ralph, God bless you all the way from Chicago. The job, I told you, I said, watch God. And they called you for that job. I want to tell you tonight, God is able to do some things for you. You know, Ezekiel said, the hand of the Lord was up on me. I was in the valley of dry bones. But sometimes you got to see all that around you and make your mind up tonight that you're going to be all right. I'm praying for you, Ramona. Anderson, I'm praying for you. I'm going to tell you things going to work out. Your sister, Lisa, I'm praying for you tonight. So you're going through some things, but God able. Sister Lorraine, there's no sorrow on earth. Things cannot heal. She lost her brother-in-law. I'm praying for you, Sister Lorraine, in Chicago. There's no sorrow on earth to him getting that healed. Sister Mary Hawkins lost her brother. I'm praying for you. Pearl lost her brother. I'm praying for you. There's no sorrow on earth that heaven cannot heal. Don't give up on God, because God is too intelligent to make a mistake. And I want to tell you, 1921, I want to tell you every door will open up for you. And I want to tell you your brother will be all right. And I want to tell you 71, 77, I want to tell you, as I look, all of you have called me where I can give you your conversation. Bright Star, I'm praying for you tonight. All is well. And Dr. Kristen, I'm praying for you. And I want to tell you, I'm praying for your mother, Dr. Kristen, you know, who had a little accident. All is well. Mother Knight, I'm praying for you. Mother Sticks, I'm praying for you. Get ready for God to carry you to the next level. Some of you stop, but I don't want you to stop. You can always call this number. You can always call 515-605-9890, and you can tune right in to what God got for you tonight. And it's a blessing what God got for you. Glory, hallelujah. I just feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost tonight. Feel in the spirit of Reverend Claire has come to me tonight, and the spirit of Reverend Moore. Jake Mouth Moe came, and here's Reverend James Moe. Come on, look at these Moes coming. I want to tell you, I'm praying for you that lost loved ones. And I'm praying for you, Teresa, who lost your daughter. All is well. There's no sorrow on earth for them tonight. Get ready, get ready, get ready for God to bless you. Look at somebody and say, all is well. Lift them hands and say, God has brought me so far, and he ain't going to stop. Look at somebody and say, all that the devil stole, he can have. Because God got some brand new stuff for me. God has given me a new look, a new walk, a new talk. Glory, hallelujah. I just thank God tonight that every yoke being broke. This is Bible class tonight, and I want to give you, when you've been through something, when you got a testimony that the doctor said you can't get well and God healed you, when you got a testimony that God brought you this far, you can tell somebody all is well. I'm praying for you in Arkansas, Mississippi, Louisiana. Ladies say in Arkansas, so much of snow down in Memphis, Tennessee, and Nashville, snow. But Exodus 14:14, Mary, God know what's going on. Give it to God. This is God's fight. 14:14 says, step back, Moses, let me do it. And I want to tell you tonight, whatever you're going through, all is well. Deborah Ann, I want to tell you, you can't do nothing by yourself. You got to let God in. Roshanda Anderson, I'm praying for you. Every letter, every telephone call. Mama Jo, I'm praying for you. Mother Frances, I'm praying for you tonight. Mother Rose, I'm praying for you. I want to tell you, Mother Nan, I'm praying for you. Mother Misa Brown in the spirit realm, I'm praying for you. Brother Mae Mayo, I'm praying for you. Carrie Nunn, I'm praying for you. Ashe, our ancestor, I want you to get ready tonight. God want to motivate you. He want to stimulate you. He want to take you to another place. Ezekiel said, the Lord's hand was up on me and dropped me off in the valley of dry bones and asked me, Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, Lord, I know it. And I want to tell you tonight, whatever you're going through, God can make it work for you. When it looks like it's dark, doors will open up for you. And when you look like doors open up, all is well. I want you to get ready. Let me pray. Father God, we come tonight. Touch every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. Those that need to see right now, I'm asking you for the need to see the widow woman. The prophet came to the widow woman. She seeded her whole cake. Whatever you got to need, you see tonight. It might not look like nothing going to work, but you can't be God-given. More that you give, he's going to give back to you. Somebody will say, man, I want to go to Chicago tonight. I want to go to Fellowship Baptist Church and listen to Dr. Clay Evans and Dr. Gatemouth Moore and Dr. James Moore as they bring some truth to what's going on tonight. I'm praying for you, Sister Sylvia, all is well. Brother Joe, I'm praying for you. I want you to get ready. The 2024 to be a blessing to you. Lorraine, I'm praying for you tonight. All with somebody ain't got no heat. Somebody got nowhere to stay. Somebody ain't got no food. But God is able right now to restore. God is able to give you what you need. And all you got to do is let go and let God. I want to tell you, Sister Mary Hawkins, all is well. Sister Mary, I'm praying for you. Look like you went all you can go. But I want to tell you that all is well. Yes, Sister Betty, I'm praying for you tonight. Every letter, every telephone call. God has opened up some doors. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. I don't know. I see Psalms 15 and Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd that I shall not want. Yea, though I walk in the valley of shadow of death, God is going to restore you, and God's going to give you tonight what you need. Sometimes you got to shut your mouth and let God work. Dr. Christian, I'm praying for you. Dr. Christian, I want to tell you, I know the circumstances you're in, but I want you to pray. God will deliver you out of that dilemma. I'm praying for your mother that had that accident. All is well. Get ready for something to happen good. Get ready for a door to happen. Get ready for God to bless in a special way. God is able to do anything with it. There's no failure in God. Glory to hallelujah. Get ready for God to do something special for you tonight.
Oh, I'm just glad that you came. I want you to minister before. I have at least about 15 to 20 minutes on there. And if you want to take all that time or whatever portion of time you want to take, I want you to know you in charge. You are in charge. Let's see if this mic is working here. And if so, see if it's on. If so, I want you to give it to him and let him have a way of it on. I don't mean just give it to him. Yeah, you got it. You all right? How you feeling, Evan?
I'm feeling fine.
Wonderful, wonderful. The Lord is good to you, isn't he?
All the time.
He's done some great things for you.
Yes, sir.
Glad for you being in Fellowship Baptist Church. Take your time. You got 15 or 20 minutes to do whatever you want to do. I don't know if I'd give that much time to some other guys. But you've set a fire for me. And down through the years, you've been that way. I want you to know he at home. Is he at home?
Can we put our hands together for the Lord again? Everybody, come on.
Come on and clap your hands, everybody. If you love Jesus, come on and clap your hands. Give God a thunderous applause. If he's been good to you, come on, clap your hands.
Look at your neighbor. Tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, everything the devil stole from me,
I want you to know he can have it. And the reason why he can have it, because Dr. Bettara. Why don't you turn around and look at someone else and say, neighbor, everything the devil stole from me, I want you to know he can have it. And the reason why he can have it, God got something better. Say it.
Y'all might as well have church in here tonight. Don't get grand on me. Don't get sophisticated. Don't get dignified. Give God some glory. If he's been good to you, you can put your hands together and open your mouth and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hiya. Hiya, yeah.
The first Sunday in the year, somebody didn't see the first Sunday. Somebody didn't see the last day of the year. But somebody said, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. Yes!
Baby, you ain't too much black eyed peas for the new year, baby. Baby, you too full.
But when I think about how good it's been to me, to be offering, but I have to give him glory. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make a boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear them. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name to heaven. If he thinks good to you, turn around and give somebody high five and say, he did good.
Show you something. When you walk by faith,
at her and say, 98 is my year. No, don't play with him. Look at her and say, 98 is my year. Look at him give a high five and say, 98 is my year. I'm going to make it in high. Yeah. Yeah.
You know why the devil was messing with you in 97? He tried to take Menio out in 97. A lot of folks didn't make it in 97. Don't reason why the devil was doing what he's doing, attacking and afflicting and trying to cripple your finances. Because he know what 98 got is. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, all that I've been through with, guess what? I still have my job. I still have my job. If you got joy, say it. Yeah. If you got joy, jump on your feet and say, yeah. Trials come, oh yeah, every day I feel like, till I go, going on, I feel like going on.
Testimony. You'll be able to tell men and women in boys and girls, that Jesus is still the same today, yesterday, and forever.
Yes.
41 years old, I ain't always had it easy in my life. But my mother had me, she was 17 years old. She was in a predicament that where she had to give me away when I was 3 weeks old. I hated saying that. You're not going to bring this baby in this house. So how many God knows that God takes to nobodies? And he makes somebodies. Can I get a witness? All my life I heard that I would never amount to anything. You know, sometimes sanctified folk can really hurt you real bad. Say cruel things and dog you out. Come on, say that. Won't even give you a chance, but thank God there's a God that sits high and looks down low. Being the oldest out of 10 children, 7 of us are living. And I look at my life. I haven't been perfect. I've made mistakes like you have. As long as you keep living, you're going to make some more mistakes. But when you make your mess, clean your mess up. Do like the Bible. The Bible says if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah 43:25, I am he that blotteth out thy transgression for my own sake and will not remember thy sin. He's a good God, ain't he? Tell your neighbor that he's a good God. And if it wasn't for his grace and mercy, we wouldn't be here right now.
God got for you is for you. In honor of Dr. Martin Luther King month, we're still bringing Dr. King back.
Today, by some sections, are suggesting that in this manner of your presentation at the rally, you are taking a one-sided view of this whole problem. Would you like to say anything on
that? I've never taken a one-sided approach to this problem. I've always said that I recognize the ambiguity of the total situation. And I recognize that if there is to be a peaceful resolution, or if there has to be a negotiated settlement, there will have to be some give and take on both sides. But I think since we took the initiative in building up this war on the ground, on the seas, and in the air, we can certainly take the initiative in stopping the war. And I think there are certain things that we can afford to do which threaten our security in no way. And I've said all along that I'm speaking to America. I am an American, and like the prophets of old who spoke to Israel rather than spending all of that time speaking to Babylon. I want to speak to my own country.
Dr. James, what happens now, sir? Is this to be the last demonstration, or are we going to see many more like this?
Well, I think this is just the beginning of a massive outpouring of concern and a massive outpouring of protest activities concerning this unjust war. I can't give you any programmatic action right now or any dates for the next action program. But I would just say today...
Mr. Douglas Chapter of the Public Relations Society of America, I'm privileged to present to you one of the best known and most controversial figures on the American scene, Dr. King.
Estimated that we spend about $500,000 to kill every enemy soldier in Vietnam. When we think about the fact that we spend only $53 a year per person for everybody that's considered poverty-stricken, and half of this is spent for salaries of persons who are not poor, it means that we have to rethink our priorities. And it is my deep conviction that if our nation can spend $35 billion a year to fight what I consider and will continue to say is an unjust, ill-considered war in Vietnam, and $20 billion to put a man on the moon, then we can spend billions of dollars to put God's children on their own 2 feet right here on earth. And I'm convinced that our government is more concerned at this point about winning the war in Vietnam than about winning the war against poverty right here at home. Who's for this purpose is now being used in the killing process. It's made for great problems in the civil rights movement, but it's made for great problems in poisoning the soul of our nation. And so as we go on in the days ahead, it seems to me that it is vitally necessary to see that the problem of the Negro will not be solved until billions of dollars are available to get rid of poverty, to make a guaranteed annual income a reality for every American family. Now let me say finally, and I guess this moves in the realm of the mutuality of the destinies of white and black Americans. We are tied together whether we realize it or not. The Negro needs the white man to save him from his fear. And the white man, we are faced with the fierce urgency of now. All over America, we are faced with the fact that tomorrow is today. In this conundrum of life and history, there is such a thing as a lost opportunity. Procrastination is still the thief of time. And we may plead passionately with time to pause in her passage, but time is adamant to every plea and rushes on. Over the bleached bones and troubled and crumbled wreckage of numerous nations and civilizations stand the pathetic words, too late. Omar Khayyam was right. The moving finger writes and having writ moves on. There is an invisible book of life that faithfully records our vigilance or our neglect. And in Chicago and every city, we will continue to remind America that the hour is late and the clock of destiny is ticking out. We must make the right choice for justice and brotherhood. We must go all out to make America one. And this is what the civil rights struggle, or I should say now the human rights struggle, is all about. And if we will make the right choice right here in America, we will be able to hew out of the mounting of despair a stone of hope we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood, and we will speed up the day when every man will respect the dignity and worth of all human personality, and all men in our country will be able to live together as brothers. Thank you. As you can well see, the visitors are far too numerous. I believe that I would have probably temporarily sacrificed my pacifism, because Hitler was such an evil force in history. But that is nothing like this in the situation in Vietnam, and I call for your attention as I try to set forth my thesis. I would like to use three biblical texts as the basis for our thinking together, two of which are found in the Old Testament and one found in the New Testament, about this tragic war. In international conflicts, the truth is hard to come by, because most nations are deceived about themselves. Rationalizations and the incessant search for scapegoats. Something is happening and people are not going to be silent. We had a march just a few weeks ago where several spoke, Stokely Carmichael and I spoke there. Peace and civil rights don't mix, they say. When I hear them, though I often understand the source of their concern, I'm nevertheless greatly saddened, for such questions mean that the inquirers have not really known me, my commitment, or my calling. They seem to forget that before I was a civil rights leader, I answered a call. And when God speaks, who can but prophesy? I answered a call which left the Spirit of the Lord upon me and anointed me to preach the gospel. During the early days of my ministry, I read the Apostle Paul saying, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." And I decided then that I was going to tell the truth as God revealed it to me. No matter how many people disagreed with me, I decided that I was going to tell the truth. I think all too many preachers, white and black alike, find themselves caught in the yoke of conformity, seduced by the success symbols of the world. We have too often measured our achievement by the size of our parsonage or the size of the wheelbase on our automobiles. We as preachers have too often become showmen to please the whims and caprices of the people. We preach competent sermons and avoid saying anything from our pulpits which might disturb the respectable views of the comfortable.
Do this every morning to clear stuck mucus from lungs and breathe easy all day long. Short or weak breathing is easy to blame.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, this stage is a stage where we honor Dr. King, but we give God glory for who he is and how he woke you up this morning and how he has started you on our way. Hallelujah. If I was home, I'd do something different right there. They see all the glory, but they don't know the story of what God has done for me. Sitting in a seat where Mary McLeod was thrown in a Dorothy Heights could be a little girl from Camden, New Jersey. Can stand here before you to say, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would we be? We bless the Lord today for Dr. Bernice King. Thank you. Thank you. I've admired her for years, and my favorite photo of you is with you and your mother at your father's home going, because I'm a daddy's girl. And every time I see it, I think about the weight that you carry and daily send you prayers, but also lifting you up as you have a mantle that has been called the daughter of a king. But because you're a daughter of the king, you never see to it that others don't get a chance to stand with you. And that is a rarity in many places where sisters don't know how to get along. But that's not the story of Bernice King. And she's a good AKA on her founder's day, giving this Delta a chance. I think she invited me on purpose on their founder's day, because it's Delta. I got on red bottoms just in case they didn't know I was red. They didn't. Happy Founders Day to my sisters of Alpha Kappa Alpha. We love you. For the date is in the house, your Founders Day tomorrow. God bless you. And my first love is Delta Sigma Theta. I love you all. For those that are here, God bless you. I want Dr. A. Lois Keith to please stand. She is a elected chair of the board of the National Council of Negro Women, and she is the finest Georgia peach I've ever seen by way of Alabama, and a proud AKA. She lets me know all the time, all the time. Amen. Y'all pray for us too. We have a lot of fun with that. I asked my family to please stand as well. I'm from New Jersey. My family has come in from New Jersey. My husband and my son are here, my parents, my brother, my aunt, my sister-in-law, everyone has come in. And just in case you don't like a speech, I brought them so they can say amen, amen. And I just in a moment want to just say there's a past present chair who's in the house. Ingrid Saunders-Jones, would you please stand? I love you. And I'm so honored to have you here as one of our previous chairs. And I just want to say the name Diane Larche today. We lost someone very special in MCNW and to many of you all that know her in Atlanta. Diane went home to be with the Lord. And I can tell you, she's rejoicing. The last time we spent time with her, she just cried because we came. And it taught me a lesson. Don't ever delay the moment. You just don't know. I didn't know it was going to be the last time I hugged her.
I'm going to share the four things you absolutely need to start doing today if your joints ache. So
we thank God for her life. And with the beautiful ladies that are in purple, my sisters of the National Council of Negro Women and all members of MCNW across this place, please stand. Look at them. They're ready, ladies. They are ready. Come on, MCNW. They're going to say amen, too. All right. And I want to do this very specially. Beverly Smith is here, who is the past president of Delta. And she changed her trip, her and her husband, to be with me. So I want to thank you both, Smith family. Love you so much. And thank you for all you do. Now, there is a clock in front of me. And I will use it because I'm your keynote speaker today. But if I was preaching, I would
would bring to you a familiar text, Psalm 23. My pastor is the Reverend Dr. Howard John Westy, who stood here a few years back. One of the things that he has taught us is land in the text so the text can help you help the people. And I'll read Psalm 23, verses 4 through 6. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, and thou preparest a table before me in the presence of thine enemies. My enemies, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over, surely. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you and I all the days of our house. We're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Because at least I see you and I love you to pieces. I'm the keynote speaker. What if I was preaching? Sharp. The title of this sermon would be, You Are in Enemy Territory. You are in enemy territory. I attended a sorority meeting a few months back, and in that meeting, we were in the great state of Indiana, and we had on all red, and we had these elephants around our necks, and next to our room was a conservative conference, same hotel, next to our room, and the room full of black women and red dresses with elephants. All you politicals got exactly where I was going with that. For the rest of you, you should sign up to see what's going on in partisan politics today. And immediately when the sisters told me that they were right next door, you know how you do. Your heart rate gets a little high. And you unfortunately get into defense mode because you know how it is when someone or some group of people operate counter to what you think your culture is. The sight of MAGA hats and trumped up rhetoric got you fired up. You see, when an indicted man can walk free at the top of his ticket, you get concerned about the interaction. We see so-called leaders do everything in their power to hide the truth about black people's history and use black pawns for their propaganda. Spewing lies and lies and more lies and somehow think that being a slave was good for us. Or somehow that the Civil War had nothing to do with slavery. I mean, enemy territory. When you hear those who call themselves patriotic, Senator Warnock, and would have the audacity to try to redefine the words of a king and bastardize the intention of his dream, alluding to the fact that not judging the color of their skin but the content of their character is code word for DEI must die. I'm in enemy territory. When all of your efforts are put into passing the John Lewis Voting Rights Act that we still don't have, and standing against voter suppression, and then we watch those who say they love the Lord pass laws that would erect illegal barriers for the most constitutional right that we have as Americans. I'm in enemy territory. When you are fighting as a woman for your own individual freedom, to have agency over your own body, and the opposition uses the one issue to hoodwink and bamboozle an entire electorate to vote against their own interests. I'm in enemy territory. When you're fighting for equal pay for women.
Sleepy JB thinks China wants peace, but his stupidity could cost you.
Because white women make only 82 cents on a dollar of their white male counterparts, and black women make a mere 65 cents on the dollar of their white male counterparts. I'm in enemy territory. When the Jesus you believe in is the one who was sent to save us and unite us in love loving community where we are commanded by the word of God to care for the sick and provide for the poor and care for the widows. But the Jesus that they see gives them inalienable rights to dictate your destiny, making health care a privilege and not a right, promoting cuts to our most vulnerable women and children. And then on January the 6th, somehow be brainwashed that committing an act of sedition and insurrection were guided by the hand of God. We're in enemy territory. Church is exhausting. Enemies can be exhausting. Enemies of freedom and justice, and I would argue enemies of the king's dream. The very thought of enemies can make you decide that your soul is too drained for this. But I realize that this message is not even about partisan politics. It's not about ideologies, no. I'm learning that enemy territory is around you and I every single day. See, when you're in the will of God, called to be a change agent, called to fight for your people, called to be a leader in this moment in time, you will face opposition. And I know a man who saw his enemies right before him, those who smiled at his face and conspired against him. Dr. King had enemies. Everybody wasn't with Dr. King. Everybody didn't support him. And as we celebrate this 95th year to the day of the birth of Dr. King, let me be clear. Dr. King was so helpful in guiding us that fighting for freedom will put you face to face with enemies, but here's the harder part. There'll be some enemies you expect. And then there'll be some enemies that you don't expect. Yeah, opposition from your own people, from your own church, from your own organization, from your own leaders, from your own family. The people that you believe are going to be there for you, whether they know it or not, sometimes find themselves as actors in the enemy's playbook to distract you from the assignment that God gave to you. They can't see you as what they know about you. But I'm here to tell them the text is going to help all of our enemies today. It's a simple scripture that is powerful enough to carry you and I. Ebenezer, yeah, you go, you walk. Through the valley of the shadow of death, you should fear absolutely no evil because our God is with us and he's going to prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Now understand this. Enemy territory doesn't feel good, but it is good. Enemy territory is necessary. Because it's the place where change occurs. The place where things happen for you. And as we honor a husband, father, preacher, and justice seeker who face opposition with dignity, let me say for the people in the back, in 2024, we're still drowning with the same enemies. And if you're not careful, you might get weary and well-doing. And so if Dr. King was here, I wonder if he would offer this question to us today. What must we do in this season to survive enemy territory? I'm a good Baptist. I'm going to give you three, leave you being, catch my flight. What must we do to survive enemy territory? Well, to survive enemy territory, we must first acknowledge that we come from good pedigree. Now, pedigree is so clear to me because pedigree says that we have a distinguished background and a distinguished history that's aligned with conferring distinction and quality. King family, you are distinct. You have quality lineage, King family. Ebenezer, you come from good stock. You got a good pastor who's had good predecessors. But before there was a king center, there were slaves who were captured and sent on this transatlantic slave trade. But yet we survived. Ebenezer, before there was an Ebenezer Baptist Church, there were women who bore children in the fields on one day and were picking cotton the next day. And still we survived.
streams, fruit hanging from trees, integrated lunch counters, martyrs for the right to vote, and somehow by God's grace, we still survive. Journey from the outhouse to the White House. Watching a young senator from Illinois become the president two times to many naysayers. Watching a black woman unite the electorate across the country who pledged Alpha Kappa Alpha Happy Founders Day. Who was an HBCU graduate, the first black and South Asian woman to ever sit in the office of vice president, you surviving. And just over a year and a half ago, another black woman who sat in the Senate chamber, more qualified than anybody in the room, sat in a hot seat to be berated by all accounts based on the comparison of her qualifications by mediocre folks at best. She would ultimately become the first black woman Supreme Court Justice of the United States of America. And she's a Delta too. All right, I got it in there. I got it in there. Now, there's a familiar phrase that we love to say, we are our ancestors' wildest dreams. But I offer you today that the dream is still unfolding. And because I'm a futurist, I get excited about what's to come, but with every great vision, you've got to know your history.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean real history. History that tells you that there was slavery, that there were people massacred, that there was a social construct called race that we used to put value or lack of value on black skin or on gender. It's a construct. Then we would develop a generation of freedom fighters that would pray, who would have that same tenacity and fire that some call woke, but I call wise. And this is why we need black art, black film, black teachers. This is why we need allies of the entire human race to commit themselves to never let our children go without knowing their history. If the ancestors could talk to us, I wonder what they would say about what they see.
Chicago mergers and acquisition brokers,
that's right.
You sell your
what
business
to the see?
I like to believe that they heard us lamenting about 45. I think the ancestors would see it a little differently. They say, baby, don't worry. We've had 245 years of this. Presidents who owned slaves, presidents who had children with slaves, presidents who were racist, presidents who said they were friends of the people until their policies came out. If we lamented to the ancestors about some of the actions of governors across the state, what would they say? And I can hear them say, baby, fret not. Because, see, we had governors stand in the doorway of our university. Greatest schools anyway, and still we rise. But we lost Tyree, we lost Breonna, Ahmaud, George, Eric, and Sandra Bland. And I can hear the ancestors say, don't worry, baby. Before you lost them, we lost Emmett. We lost four little girls. We lost Megan, we lost Malcolm and Martin. And countless names that lost their lives in the struggle, but yet we still rise. Affirmative action, student loan debt, ancestors, I can hear them saying, don't you worry, because we pushed through Brown versus Board of Education, and we have three judges of African descent who serve in the highest standing of court. Now, two who do for people, but there are three of African descent in the Supreme Court, and still we rise. My sisters and brothers, pedigree gives us purpose and the tools we need. Listen, not only must we acknowledge our pedigree, but listen, in order for us to survive enemy territory, we've got to also assign ourselves to the right position.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a massive sports fan. Now listen, tonight...